lightning that happens in the east and everybody sees it in the west, everybody will see Jesus come back. There's not going to be any question there. Everybody will see Jesus come back. And when that happens, I want you to realize that a trumpet will sound. And there will be a shout. And when that trumpet sounds, you're going to look up. You're going to take notice. Everybody's going to hear it. Everybody's going to see it. But there's going to be two types of people. One type of person is going to run to it. The other type of person is going to run and hide in the caves and hope for the rocks to fall on them to cover them up from the wrath of God. That's the type of person you don't want to be. You want to go with Jesus Christ. But it says this, the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And those who have died in Christ will rise first. Then those of us who are left alive, who have not passed on, who are not in that eternal rest, that we will be caught up together with them who have been risen. We will be caught up together. Then we who are alive, who remain, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord. Now that's hope. That's joy. That's what we look forward to. We look forward to that hope of being with God and Christ forever. Don't ever think anything different. This world, as we talked about in our Bible class this morning, this world is not our home. We are just a passing through. I don't know who wrote that, but he had to be from Arkansas. Okay? Folks, realize that this world is not our hope. This world is not our joy. Our joy, our hope is with God. Our joy, our hope is with Christ. It is not here. It is not here. Okay? All right. Now, there's lots of misconceptions out there in the world as to how we will raise from the dead. And that is an image of King Tut. Now, the Egyptians believed that your physical body will be that which is raised from the dead. Again, I hope not. Because I really hope to look better than this when I'm raised from the dead. I don't really look that way, although he has a real pretty color about him. I don't want to look that way. Okay? But they tried their best to preserve the body any way that they could so that when they are raised from the grave, they would be in their physical body. And this preacher that I listened to, he was saying that when we are raised in our physical body. And what he was saying was, he was condemning those who were cremated. And my response to that was, okay, let's think about this for a minute. There are people who are burned alive who die. Does that mean they won't be raised? What about all the children that were in the Holocaust? Just think about that. And remember that every one of those children, Jesus said, within them is the kingdom of heaven. And he also goes on to say that the angels of these little ones continually view the face of my Father, which is in heaven. Guess what? They're going to heaven. And they are now. They're with Jesus Christ in paradise today, right now, in a perfect body. One that doesn't know any kind of corruption. And so, folks, I want you to know that has nothing to do with it because this body is going to wear out. I can't do the things that I did when I was 20. Not sure I'd want to. I can't do the things that I did when I was 30. I can't do the things that I did when I was 64. That's what I am now. Okay? Realize that this body's going to wear out. And when this body wears out, we will be transformed into another one. And that transformation is not physical. Matthew 22:29 says this, "But Jesus answered and said to them, 'You are mistaken, since you do not understand the Scripture nor the power of God.'" Now, what Jesus was answering there is this. They were asking about this woman who had five husbands, and they were asking, said, "Okay, whose wife will she be in the resurrection?" Folks, I love my wife. But you know what? There's no marriage relationship in the resurrection. Because that which is physical will be gone. And only what is left is that which is spiritual. That physical aspect is gone. That physical need is gone. Those things are gone. Will we know each other? And I'm going to talk about that in just a minute. Yes, is the answer. But I want you to realize that that physical need is only here. We're not going to hunger anymore. We're not going to thirst anymore. Revelation chapter 21 tells us this. Verse 4, "There will be no more crying, there will be no more dying, because we will be with God forever." And this is what we hope for, because these are the things that we have where we will not suffer any pain anymore. The things which are old are gone, and only that which is new will be left. Because there will be a new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven as a bride adorned for her husband. Not the physical Jerusalem. A new Jerusalem coming out of heaven. Now, in Revelation 21:4, as I mentioned just a second ago, notice the last part of that verse. "The first things have passed away." This physical earth will be gone. The physical body will be gone. All those things will be gone. No longer will that be part of us. "For therefore we will be no longer physical, but spiritual." We will be no longer mortal, but immortal. There will be no more deterioration. We will be perfect in every aspect. We will be changed in a blink of an eye. Immediately. Now notice what Paul says there in 1 Corinthians. He says, "Not all people will sleep." In other words, not all people will die on this earth. Physical death. But he goes on to say, "But we will all be changed." We will all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised imperishable. And we will be changed. I am grateful for that. No more suffering, no more sorrow, no more hunger, no more pain. How wonderful that will be. Now, the question that I have all the time, will we know each other? And what I've got up there on the board is the Mount of Transfiguration. Because that gives us a great example of how it's going to be. Remember, there were three apostles with Jesus at the time of the Mount of Transfiguration. There was Peter, James, and John. Those three. And they were watching this. And they saw this. And realized they saw two individuals standing there with Jesus. And they knew who those individuals were. Now, Moses was approximately 1,500 years before Christ. How could they have possibly known who he was? But they knew immediately who he was. They knew who was standing there with Jesus Christ. And so they wanted to build an altar to all three of them. But remember, the altar, as God told them, he said, "This is my beloved Son, hear ye him." That was not the purpose of this, was to build an altar, but the purpose was that Jesus was fulfilling all the law and all the prophets. This is an example of that. Moses expressing the law, Elijah expressing the prophets. Jesus in between, fulfilling all the law and all the prophets. That's what this symbolizes. But the apostles knew who Elijah was. The apostles knew who Moses was, even though they had never seen them before. And I've told you before that when I get there, I'm going to run up to Paul. I've told you that before. And he's going to look down and says, "Oh no, here he comes." He's going to know I'm coming. He's going to know I'm on the way. And he said, "Somebody step in front. John, would you take care of this for me?" You know, he's going to ask somebody to step in the way. But I'm going to go right up to him, and I'm going to talk to him. And I told John before that I believe that he wrote Hebrews, the book of Hebrews. I still believe that. I believe that he wrote the book of Hebrews. There's a lot of things that tell me that. But I may walk up to him and he may look at me and he says, "Steve, I didn't write the book of Hebrews." That's okay. There are things I want to ask. There are things I want to know. There's an opportunity that I'm going to be able to walk and talk with Jesus Christ. I'm going to be able to talk to him, ask him questions, be with him for an eternity. Folks, this is where our hope is. Yes, we will know each other. Yes, we will remember that we were here together today. Because all good things we will remember. Okay? All good things we will remember. But any bad thing we will not remember. So we need to realize that those who don't make it to heaven, those of us who are in heaven will not remember them. Because that would give us sadness that they were not there. Realize the power of God. Because the power of God can take away those bad feelings, those bad memories, those bad thoughts. I've got a great example. One of the greatest examples that I have is during World War I. World War I at Christmas time. Where the British were on one side, Germans on the other. They were all in their trenches. And they called a ceasefire for that day. And all of the Germans and all the British came up out of their trenches and they met together in no man's land. And they sang songs of joy for Jesus Christ. They played soccer. They did all these things together. And then at the end of the day, they went back to their trenches. But I tell you that story because of this. There will be people there that you didn't think were going to be there. And you will remember. They will remember. Because there were Christian people on both sides of that fence. They will remember. They will remember. But what they won't remember is that maybe that Christian brother on the other side was the reason why I died. They won't remember that part. But they'll remember singing together. So realize that as we remember, we will only remember that which is good. We will only remember that which is good. So Jesus tells us, He says, this is the reason that you're going to heaven. Because look at all the things that you did while you were here on this earth. Look at the good that you did for each other. Look at the good that you did for people out in the world. And it says, because you did it for the least of these, my brothers, you did it for me. Because every time you showed kindness to someone else, you did it for Jesus. Have you ever treated somebody at a store with kindness? And they smile at you? There was a deal just the other day, and I just found this interesting. Just the other day, I was in the store, and I ordered something, and they were having a hard time getting it. They were slow and whatnot. And the little girl, she kept coming up to me. She said, I'm so sorry it's taking so long and all this. I said, it's all right. It's not a problem. And eventually, when she got it to me, she said that again. I'm so sorry it took so long. I said, don't worry about this at all. I said, this isn't a problem. And she smiled at me. And I smiled back at her. And I told her, I said, you have a good day. And she said, I will. Just a little something. Because every time you do that little something, you do it for Jesus Christ. Every single time. Now, realize this. That we, today, can be changed. We're going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye. From that which is mortal to that which is immortal. To that which is imperfect to that which is perfect. Folks, we can be changed today to that. Now, we'll still be living in this mortal body. But our spirit becomes immortal. Our spirit becomes perfect in every way. For we are cleansed, we are washed in the blood of the Lamb. All things are made perfect. And in Romans chapter 6, we are taught that we are buried in the likeness of Jesus in His death, we are raised in the likeness of His resurrection. We are perfect. The only way that we can become perfect is through the blood of Jesus Christ. And the only way to get the blood of Jesus Christ is you must be baptized into the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit for the remission of sin. This is how we obtain that perfection. And folks, as we obtain that perfection, we obtain eternal life. This body, this physical body, will die out. And unless Jesus comes before, this physical body will die. But our spiritual body will live forever. Forever. And where that begins is here and now while we are still in the physical. It doesn't start when you die. It starts now. Now's the time to begin. Now's the time to put on Jesus Christ in baptism. Now's the time to become a Christian so that when you do physically die, you don't spiritually die. You spiritually live forever. Your body is changed to that which is perfect. Everything about you is perfect. And because of the blood of Jesus Christ, every sin is washed away, and God will remember them no more. So the purpose of this lesson today is this. Number one, it's not about the physical. It has never been about the physical. Jesus, in his Sermon on the Mount, changes the attitude of the Jews from that which is physical to that which is spiritual. It's about what's in the heart, not what's on the outside. So this physicality will go away. The spiritual will last forever. And therefore, why not put him on in baptism? To put away that which is physical and put on that which is spiritual. To put away that which is mortal to that which is immortal. Always seek eternity. Always seek eternal life. For this is our hope. This is our joy. This is what we seek. And folks, if you seek it, you shall find it. And guess what? You found it today. If you have a need this morning, a need to be baptized, or a need for our prayers, we want to ask you to come to let us know so that we might be able to help you. But folks, the big key here is to change your life now. The big key here is to change your physicality now. To put on the spiritual and discard that which is physical. You have the opportunity to do that now. Do it. All together we stand and sing.